All right. Hey, good evening, Grace Point. Anybody out there listening? Welcome to Thursday night teaching. We're going through the book of Matthew, as you know. Father, I pray this always, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation will flow, that you open our minds and our hearts to be filled with light regarding our salvation. Lord, what you provided in Christ for the church, what we've inherited, and then, Lord, the power available to us. And Lord, also, we're in this section about authority. Lord, reveal to us the authority we have. And Father, really how it works. Show us how it works. And I just pray for me as I teach, Lord. I know you're with me. Thank you for being with me. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's pick up verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Okay, so Jesus is done preaching the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, and now he's coming down from the mount, where the Sermon of the Mount was given, and he's coming down, and the people are following him. Remember, when he's up there, he's doing miracles. He multiplied, you know, bread, and he has all these miracles, and these miracles are drawing a crowd. And you can really see that in the Gospel of Mark, and you know, where he's doing miracles. He's up teaching on the mountain, and then people are following him. We talked about last week how miracles do draw a crowd. And yeah, sometimes people are drawn by miracles. They don't get saved, or they don't allow the work of God to sanctify them. There is more than just miracles to the Gospels. The miracles are a calling card, or God is announcing his power. He's revealing himself. He's revealing his intention and will and his goodness toward humanity. But it's absolutely also necessary to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. When we get saved, okay, we move beyond the need for outstanding miracles to make us believe. We should be believing without the miracles. We can believe for things from God, and we should be believing for covenant promises from God. But now our faith is in the person of the Lord. We're looking at him to guide us and direct us in all his facets as God, Jehovah, our shepherd. He's going to guide us. Jehovah Tsidkenu, he becomes our righteousness. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Jehovah Makadesh, the Lord our sanctifier. So all these names in the Old Testament, Jesus fulfills. He is those things, which again astounds me that people, when they argue about healing, and they argue about different aspects of salvation that's given to us, they take these little things that have to do with people's experience, and they wipe out whole theologies in the Old Testament where God is revealing his nature and his covenantal blessing to his people. Do you know Gentiles? We're not a separate salvation, separate than the Jews. The whole book of Ephesians is Paul making the case that the Gentiles are included. The book of Romans, really Paul's whole ministry, he's defending his ministry, is that the Gentiles are included in salvation. How many trees are there of the family of God? You know, there's one. It was a Jewish tree. If you read in Romans 11, you'll find out that the olive tree didn't get cut down. Jesus is the root of that tree. Okay? It's just that the Jewish people that did not accept Christ says they were cut off. What? The tree remains. The trunk of God and the tree of God remains. It doesn't go anywhere. It's just that the branches, the Jewish nation, if they did not believe in Jesus because of their unbelief, they're cut off of the tree. In fact, Paul said if the Gentiles don't believe, they'll be cut off too. Very interesting if you believe in once saved, always saved. I know they argue around that, but he talks about them being cut off. I don't want to get into that now. I don't want to go that direction. But he says even the Gentiles can be cut off of that olive tree. That olive tree was the Jesus Christ, God's great plan, which included the Jewish nation. There's one tree, and it was only a Jewish tree at the beginning. Where the, you know, I'm not saying Gentiles didn't make it to heaven, but God's plan included just the Jews, okay, how he brought the Messiah into the earth. But now the Gentiles have been included in that tree. So all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. Flip over to 2 Corinthians. Did I tell you I wasn't in any hurry to get through this book? I'm not in any hurry. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'm going to read what Paul says about this. He says, but as God, this is verse 18, 2 Corinthians 1. But as God is true, our word towards you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you, and boy, I could take a little path out there, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no. But get this, in him was yes. Get that. Where are the promises of God located? In him. In him was yes. Not in your righteousness, not in your goodness, not in your ability. In him, in Christ, was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him are amen, unto the glory of God by us. So Paul is saying all the promises of God, everything that God ever promised, has been completed and fulfilled in him, in Christ. We're in him. There's over 140 in him, or indirectly or directly in him, verses in the New Testament that tell us what we have in him. Isn't that amazing? That's where the promise, that's why Jesus, he didn't destroy the law, he fulfilled it. He fulfilled it. He inherited the promises. He fulfilled the law, and he laid it aside. Now our righteousness isn't found in a completed law that Jesus fulfilled and completed. Our righteousness is found in the one that completed it. We're no longer righteous by works. We're no longer righteous by the law or the law of works, but we're now righteous by walking by faith in the Spirit, in Christ, and God is affecting his righteousness in our life. In him. In him is where all the promises of God are made. Isn't that powerful? To me, it's powerful. So we're seeing Jesus coming down from the mountain, and great multitudes are following him. Now, there's another thing that Jesus did. This is amazing to me. After Jesus did miracles, and you'll see this in the book of Mark very clearly, which I've been reading, Jesus would do miracles, and then he would teach the people. One of the reasons that he did miracles, and there are many, but he got your attention. And what did Jesus do when he got the people's attention? He taught them. I love that over and over again. So when I go into the Word, I always think about what Jesus did in the Gospels, and he'd do miracles and he'd teach. I say, Lord, you're a teacher. It's your heart. The nature of God is to teach. You know, if you don't believe that, go through the book of Proverbs. And how many times does the writer of Proverbs say, my son, listen to my commandments? That's written through the Holy Spirit. I know Solomon wrote it, but it's written through the Holy Spirit. He keeps saying, my son, listen to my instruction. My son, listen to my commandments. My son, listen to my words. And then he makes promises. Jesus has compassion on us, and he becomes our teacher. This should encourage us. I don't understand why people don't get up every morning and go into the Word and listen to God. Or maybe you're not a morning person, then why you don't crack your Bible at night and sit down and just listen to? I don't get it. You're not going to gain wisdom and understanding without spending time with the Lord, time in his Word and time in prayer. Why don't you want to do that? Why don't we want to do that? Don't we understand that the one that made us and understands us, the one that has an intention for our life, wants to speak to us? Do we not value that? Think of how many things go wrong in our life that maybe wouldn't have to. What's that song? Oh, what grace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You know, man, the nature of God is to teach. He wants to teach you. Jesus said here in this book, come unto me, you know, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. So he is a teacher. He wants to teach you. It's not just, you know, we go to God in emergencies. We say, oh, Lord, I'm in an emergency. Help me. He didn't want you being in that emergency. He wanted to head that emergency off at the, oh, God, I've got cancer. Oh, God, this is that. He didn't want us necessarily to be in those situations. He wanted to teach us and help us and guide us, but we just tend to go to him in crisis and emergencies, and we miss so much grace that way, the grace of being taught by the Lord. In the Old Testament, remember when they were in the wilderness? When did that manna come? And manna is a symbol of the Word of God. It's bread. Jesus said in John 6, I am the bread of life. I am the bread that came down from heaven. Didn't he say that? That he was the manna that came down from heaven? Didn't he say that? He did say that. Okay, so he's the bread. How often did that bread come down? Came down every morning, didn't it? Every morning they had fresh manna. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread only, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's the point, the bread and the word. The bread is symbolic of the word. So the Lord wants to teach us every day. Now, it's nothing legalistic here. If you can't spend time in the Word one morning, it's not like God's departing from you. You may not be able to spend time with the Lord for a week. He's not going anywhere. The point is, as we spend time in the Word, as we spend time in prayer, the Holy Spirit's going to teach us. We're going to gain wisdom and revelation, and it's going to help us through life. And we will miss things in life if we don't do that. You won't have the knowledge you need. You won't have the wisdom. The Word says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Paul prays to the Colossians church that they'll be filled with spiritual wisdom and understanding, and they will increase in the knowledge of God. Increase in the knowledge of God. Well, you're not going to do that without being spending time in the Word and time in prayer and going to church. I still maintain, you know, that people have a misunderstanding. I have a good friend, and he might even be listening, and he always talks about why he doesn't need to go to church. He finds fault with the church. There's a lot to find fault with. There's a lot of imperfection in the church. I don't deny it. Maybe the mode of worship isn't the kind of type of worship you like, but there's so many churches out there, and many of them do things different. You don't have to be stuck in a certain mode of expression of church. You don't have to come in and sing contemporary music. You don't have to come in and do things a certain way. The Bible doesn't tell you how you have to do things like that, but you need to belong to a body because that's where the Word of God is preached. That's where a vision is given for a community. When I preach Grace Point, I'm trying to give a vision for the people here about what God wants to do in our community, what he wants to do through our church. If you're not linked into that, you're not hearing God's will for your life. I'm sorry, but you're not. And I preached on this many times. I'm getting off my topic, but the body of Christ is a body, and we're dependent on one another, and we forsake our own mercy when we don't walk in relationship with the community. There is no doubt about it. There is a hand, there's an eye, there's a mouth. I've got Brian back here doing sound and video for me. I depend on Brian. You can't imagine what Mr. Ramsey does for me in this church, how many different things he does. And without Brian, this video would not go forth. I'd just be yapping and there wouldn't be any recording of it. I depend on him. He's a part of the body. Charlie was just here. He's down sanding the doors and painting them, I think, working on stuff. I'm not doing that. Charlie's doing that. Brother Ken takes care of the finances for our church. I'm not doing that. And then there's spiritual giftings. You know, Sister Evelyn has tremendous spiritual gifts that God uses her in, and others. I could go through and just name people off in the church and the things that they do. We are a body, and so the word of God is preached to this body for the will of God in our community and in this local congregation. If you're not doing that, then you're missing some of the teaching or the will of God for your life. So Jesus is a teacher, and he's teaching a body of believers how to get along, how to grow. We can't even find the will of God in isolation. We can't even find the teaching of God always assumes a community. Look back at the Old Testament. You had 12 tribes, and all those 12 tribes had leaders, and they all got together, and Moses was their leader, and they had all these, Jesus is our leader, by the way, not a man. He's our heavenly Moses, right? He's the leader of the church. But each church has elders and representations, and we're growing together. You don't do that on your own. You can pray, you can become a monk, you can go into isolation, but you will not grow like that to the fullness. Now, there's mercy and grace on people that can't gather together. Absolutely. If you're in prison, and people have been in prison for the gospel, of course there's mercy and grace on people in those situations. That's why we're told to pray for them in the book of Hebrews. Pray for those that are bound and in prison. That's that church connection they have, that people are praying for them because they know about them. They're a part of a body. Okay, so Jesus is a teacher, and he's just come down from the mountain, and he's been teaching these people, and he gets approached by a leper. This is powerful stuff. Brian, how far am I into this? All right, we're going to go ahead, and I could get into the second verse. Hey, 2 weeks' time, and we're on verse 2. We're doing great. We're just moving mightily through here. I'm going to wrap it up there, because if I start into this, it'll be a whole other thing. All right, we'll see you next week. Pick up right there in Jesus' name. Thank you.